Oh, dude. Dia, I'll pick all the hot guys, and we'll have fun.
Dude, it's week 7 on the podcast. We've changed our names because Willie and Dick Picks was getting kind of weird. It is one of your hosts with Dia. I'm in Richmond, and we're going to go live to the Drama King.
Is that me?
Damn it.
Oh, my God. This is the most amazing.
Reporting live from the O.
And then this week we found him. He is healthy. He's not sick anymore. He's not floating away. We've actually got a solid connection. We have Sally joining us. Sally, where are you at tonight?
Reporting live from Chucktown in my 900-square-foot apartment living room. Cheers.
Cheers. And we have a drinking Sally, which is a whole new thing for the podcast. Chuck, have you joined the club this week?
Nope. I only drink Gatorade. I have to have a sound mind when I'm making these picks.
A sound mind with your green Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lemon lime.
You should really get a sponsorship from Gatorade. They sponsor everybody.
Not me.
It's true. Not Tiger Woods anymore.
Yeah, he had something different going on. Of course, true. Will did have a whole new ad with his Skype contact. He logs on and a cherry bubbles to try to friend him. He wanted to know if that was you.
Fans from this podcast.
Yeah, they're finding you on Skype now. They want to know how to make the money that Chuck is making on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nothing like a cover name of maybe Cherry Blossom.
Maybe it's Vegas. They're trying to shut me down.
Vegas definitely would go by Cherry Bubbles. It's a very Vegas thing to do.
Oh, it's Cherry Bubbles, not Blossom? Oh, yeah, that's even worse.
It's Bubbles 42 and Chuck was like, Dia, is that Sally's screen name? Like, why would that be Sally's screen name?
Come on, Will.
So Chuck is not so good at picking out screen names and who they belong to, but he's still good at picking games. Last week, Chuck nailed 8 games. Matt, the White Lion, Whitney, Griff, and I had 7. Kirch, Sharon Chardonnay, and Uncle Brett all had 6 and finished in 6th place. Master Sums had 5 games correct. And our boy Sally got 4 games right and finished in 10th. So, you know, just because of that, we've invited Sally on this week.
I got a little redemption in
hockey. So, you only got 4 out of, like, 13 games?
All right. First of all, I told you about the Georgia game. Let's not get on a tangent here, you dick.
Why is Salil on this podcast?
Well, when we get to this next part, I can wonder why I'm on the podcast. So, yeah. So, Sally claims he picked Tennessee on everything else except our podcast.
I'm really soft, 5 out of 13.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't the Houston, Kansas, Northwestern, Georgia Tech, West Virginia, Mizzou, TCU, Utah picks still go unexplained.
Let's also say this. I went out on a limb because I have to try and catch up to Will. All right. So I do remember going through this being like, I got to be a little different than everyone else.
So not possible to catch me.
Oh, shut up, Will.
It's going to happen. Witt's going to run you down. So in the total standings.
I honestly hope
she's a white lion. She's going to eat me.
Yep. We'd also like to thank Dove for sending Whitney 3 white tiger t-shirts. They're in the tiger family, like the cat family. So it works to an extent. So those, I'm trying to convince Whit to wear that to the Baylor game this weekend. I don't know how that's going to go. Whit, do you think you'll wear it?
No.
No? Okay. He says no.
Shocker, dear. Real big shocker on that one.
So our overall standings, Chuck is 46 games right. Whitney has 41. I have 37. Sally has 33. Kirch is 32. Dub is 28. Griff with 27. Uncle Brett with 22. Sums with 21. And Sarah has 13. So I guess we'll run through last week's games pretty quickly. We started this before the podcast. We were like, okay, we're going to try to run through games like real quick in like about a minute, minute and a half. And so Will's like, hey, we got to talk about the first game for extended time. I watched it.
I enjoyed the SMU U of H game because it was Thursday night game and I had real money on it. Yeah, SMU let U of H score like 28 unanswered points, so they weren't covering, and then SMU gets like a 4th-and-17 touchdown with like 2 minutes left to cover. So I won. Sally lost.
Yeah, I know. And I was going to make a big move on that one with my 5. Screw you, Will.
Big move.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of big moves, Oklahoma's Big Uglies could move the Texas defensive front, and UT not only doesn't cover, they don't even win. Although I think Charlie Strong with the gold like cowboy hat should be something he should wear every week. It just seems.
Will he wear a gold cowboy hat?
Yep.
No, it's the trophy.
Yeah, he was like, that's the most I've ever seen him smile. He was like relaxing. He seemed to have a good time.
Dude, I didn't know Charlie Strong is like 5'4". He's short.
Is he really?
You know when he gives speaks at press conferences, he stands on a box behind the podium.
Didn't know that.
Hey, you know what? I'm taller than one black man in this world. That's fantastic.
Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, being an Indian guy, I'm not taller than many people.
Sally, how tall are you? You're like 5'7", right?
Yeah, Dia, come on, man. 5'8½". Okay. Give me every little inch that I need. And the average height in India is 5'3". I'm like Shaq in my culture. I mean, well, Hash is also
probably because of your weight there.
Yeah, well, oh, thanks, Will. It really helped me back.
Well, remember, the fatter you get, the more I like of you. I didn't really like skinny Sally.
You know, for the record, most people actually did like skinny Sally. It's the fat one they don't like because I'm more of a dick and I'm ornery.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all.
That's definitely not true.
I'm definitely more ornery.
Speaking of ornery, we're going to go to the other 11 o'clock game last week of Illinois at Iowa. Illinois ended up covering the 11. Iowa, though, still undefeated somehow.
Big 10. Go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Chuck, did you watch that game?
No.
Okay. Did you watch this next game? You weren't even in town, were you? Never mind.
I was out of town for the morning games.
Sally was out of town also, so I guess I'm the only one who was in front of a TV, but I spent...
No, I watched it. I watched all that game until they got to 66, and my father-in-law changed the channel because he said, this is getting ridiculous.
Mm. Okay.
Mm, interesting.
That game for everyone else is...
Sounds like you might need to find a new father-in-law.
Don't be a little quick on the trigger.
It was 66-7, Will. I couldn't really argue that the fact that the game was interesting anymore. There's only so many, hey, let me watch Stiddy throw another
Stidham
touchdown.
Was in the game.
I told him that, and he didn't care.
Laquan was – no, he wasn't playing then, was he? He was
out. No, Laquan was on the sideline sitting next to I Hate Seth.
You favorite guy. So Baylor did cover the 45, and so that brings us to our next game of Georgia was a -3 – was -3 at Tennessee. Nick Chubb tore his knee up and is done for the year. So Tennessee won the game. And what's that, their third win maybe? Something like that. Chuck, our next game, you love the Wildcats. What happened in Chicago?
Well, first of all, the game was in Ann Arbor. It wasn't in Chicago.
I get that, but they're in Chicago.
Dude, if you guys don't remember that I was one of the few people to actually pick Michigan to cover the 8-point spread, I knew they were going to get blown out, and the game was over literally after the opening kickoff. They ran it back for a touchdown. That was all they needed. Michigan won by like 35, 38, something like that.
38, I believe.
38-0.
Sally, in your new home state, your boys Clemson rolled Georgia Tech. What were all your friends at work saying?
Oh, they were going nuts, man. It was ridiculous. I legitimately thought it was going to be a letdown game for Clemson. Apparently, so did some reporter. They told Dabo that, well, are you guys going to Clemson a game? And he was like, and he,
oh, he lost it.
So, yeah, it was really entertaining to watch him go off on someone for calling it Clemsoning.
Bring your own guts if you're going to be the reporter.
So, what do people think about Chad Morris possibly becoming the next coach of South Carolina?
The Clemson people absolutely hate it. The South Carolina people could go 1-11 every year, and as long as that one win is Clemson, they don't care. They don't care.
But what about Chad Morris?
They'd love it, dude. Are you kidding me? They would absolutely love it because it would rub it in the face of all their Clemson fans. He'd go from Clemson offensive coordinator to SMU head coach to USC head coach. That'd be hysterical.
So I'm more impressed that you knew who Chad Morris was.
Yeah, dude. I'm very familiar when I got all these guys at Clemson that sit here and talk a lot of smack. And then they're like, he's going to SMU. You think he's going to be – I had a bunch of people IM me at work the first week of the game. They're like, I hope SMU beats you. I'm like, oh, thanks, man.
Okay. So if they're going to be bragging and all that, do they know that Chad Morris was a high school coach in Texas?
They are very aware of that, but at the same respect, they don't care because they went to Clemson. And it's something – dude, I've been to Clemson, South Carolina, and let me tell you right now, I do not understand how Dabo Sweeney recruits people to come to that place. I've been to Waco, Texas, and I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, Clemson is a crap hole. Everything about that place, they have one bar.
You've been to Waco, Texas.
Yeah, Waco is a crap hole too, but I understand why people go there because everything about that place, it is now a complete football environment. Clemson, yes, it is a football environment. The tailgating's great, but legitimately outside of football season, their basketball team is garbage. Their everything else is garbage, and the only thing that they have to do is a lake. The weather's meh. From what I've heard, it's drugs, sex, and alcohol. So I was like, oh, I guess that'll help you recruit anyway. So there's that.
Could explain bit of some of Dabo's things. Behavior.
Yeah. Well, except for Dabo is like a strong Christian guy.
So I was going to say, it sounds like a real strong faith there.
Yeah, I don't really know where to go with that one, D. I'm sorry.
So speaking of odd behavior, Brett Bielema was flopping on the sideline against Alabama. See, I could transition that one.
That was fantastic transition.
Bama did not cover the 17, so Arkansas covered for about half our spreadsheet with me, Chuck, and Sally. All three of us got that game right last week.
You notice who got that wrong? It would be our guest last week, John Griffin, who claims to know the SEC so well. But I beat him going 2-1 against the spread. Griff went 1-2. Suck it, Griff.
So speaking of a lot of us all of us hitting a game, a lot of us missed this next game. We had Oklahoma State going to Westpha. Oklahoma State won the game in overtime. So
I watched that game. That was a crappy game.
I didn't have to watch that game, so I feel fortunate. I'll get to see West Virginia this weekend.
Legitimately shocked that West Virginia did not cover that at all.
Did you watch the game?
They were in Morgantown. Oh, well, I heard they had like four turnovers.
God dang it! Tychel just gave up a three run home run.
Woo! Wait, I'm really confused. Are we celebrating a Kansas City home run right now?
I'm not entirely sure what Chuck's doing.
The game's over. We lose.
Yeah. It's a curse of Governor
Abbott. I'm like Steve Spurrier. I need to retire. I'm sick and tired of this losing.
Hey, guess what? It's baseball. It blows.
Now I've got Whitney questioning me who's celebrating, and then when I tell her Will, she's like, why? Good job, Chuck.
It was more of a sarcastic one.
Speaking of sarcastic, I took Florida last week in a sarcastic way. It hit. Florida... beat up on Mizzou. Florida, they may have won the game, but their quarterback is going to be out for some time now, you know.
Dude, I did not watch that game, but I looked at the game tracker for that game. Literally, that game had to have the most possessions I've ever seen in a football game. 3 and out, 7 yards. 3 and out, 3 yards. 3 and out, -6 yards. Just punt after punt after punt. That must have been a real boring game to watch.
Yes.
No, it's not even that boring because it's not Big Ten football.
So you know how many undefeated teams there are in the Big Ten right now? Iowa, yeah. Ohio State, Michigan State. Boom.
When you lead with Iowa, you lose me.
Nope.
Yeah, come on. Well,
it doesn't really matter. Iowa's undefeated season comes to a halt in Evanston this weekend.
Sally, did you and your father-in-law...
Hey, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Did you and your father-in-law watch TCU at K-State?
No, I was at a wedding dancing my tail off to Whip Nene.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's me. Shocker.
Don't want to see that.
I was going to a movie, and so this new movie theater actually it's not a new movie theater. They just built the bar out in the movie theater, which was new. It wasn't there last time I was there. So, Whitney's going into the theater, and she's like, you coming? I'm like, no, I'll wait here until the previews are over. I just want to watch more of the game. And then so I went inside, and Kansas State still had a lead, came back out, didn't hang up. So.
Nope.
Yep.
I absolutely hate TCU, and they are absolutely letting me down in every way when I pick them. I hate them so much.
K K-State did cover. So we got two more games of last week. Florida State hosted Miami. Either one of you guys watched that game?
No interest.
No.
Me neither.
Wedding.
Florida State, again, couldn't blow anybody out, so they don't cover the 9.5 at home. Cal went to
Sally
Utah.
Sally got it.
Sally did get it. Cal went to Utah.
You swag. Swag you.
Swag you. Is that why you
the
picked
other
Miami?
You. No, I picked him because I knew everyone was going to be picking Cal, and I tried to get on the tried to get the upper hand there.
We were talking about the Miami there, Sol.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I picked my – oh, my bad, man. I picked
Nobody considers
Miami.
Utah swag you.
That's why I'm really confused by that.
Maybe BYU thinks
Miami
you're too swag-like.
Legitimately, I didn't think that Florida State was that good of a team, and I honestly thought they were going to choke one game away. And that was not it. I guess we'll have to wait to see them drop the ball in Clemson. I don't like Everett Golston. I don't think he's a great quarterback. So I thought that was going to be the game.
The last game, my lock of the week, the Cal Bears to cover the 7-point spread. If it weren't for freaking 5 interceptions from the future number one pick in the NFL draft, Cal would have easily won that game.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And I'm going to be honest. Cal, I hate you.
So Utah had the ball with like 3 minutes left, and I saw they were only up 6, and I was like, shit, I'm not going to cover this game. And so by the time we got home from the movies and all that, and we got in, I noticed the game was over, and Utah only won by 6, so covered that one. So when it comes to money last week, I hit 1 of 4 games for the money part. So, therefore, I lost another $236, bringing my season total to a fantastic negative $1,036.
And 45 cents.
And the 45 cents.
So, don't shortchange yourself, do you?
Okay. So, we got the 45 cents in there. And then, for Chuck, out of his 6 games, he hit 5 with his mutual fund effect. And he won another $622.65, bringing his total to what, Chuck?
$1,938.92.
Correct. And then our boy Griffin hit 2 of his 4 picks, but not the big money picks. So he lost $236.40. So, of course, leading our way is Chuck. And then with me every week, I'm doing terribly. But I then want to go ahead and point out our leaderboard from our guest. Dub put all of his 1,000 on a game, hit it, which is working great for him because he's positive $909. The rest of our friends, not so solid. K-Money's a negative $46. Evan's a negative $46. Griff's a negative $236. Sally, from his first time when he got sick and texted me picks, is negative $418. Domi's negative $1,000. So now we actually have Sally on for real. We're going to see if we can get another positive number on that board.
You're going to get a positive number this week, boys. I'm just letting you know.
All right. We're going to hold you to it.
Well, yep. So in 6 weeks, none of our friends have done that. Only one of our friends have done that. The White Stugot, says he dubs himself.
And it's not the actual Stugots because he also is white.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting transition there, dear.
I try. I'm not a pro at this. I'm semi-pro. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to keep sipping on my Nightmare on First Street my mom bought me this week. And we're going to keep rolling on to our games. So I was taking my – I had an exam on Sunday. And so I came home. My mom had dropped off all sorts of beer when I was gone because my mom has recently discovered Trader Joe's that opened nearby. And so she did never heard.
Do y'all have a Trader Joe's down there?
We do.
I have a Trader Joe's in there right across the street from me.
See, so you could go get ice cream for Rachel earlier.
Hey, knock it off, Dia. I don't need any of those peanut gallery comments to get me in trouble.
That'd be a gentlemanly thing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. I appreciate that.
We have the two guys on the podcast who are married or marrying people named Rachel. Similarities right there.
And they're also
spelled the same
way. That's
about the only similarity we have.
You went to Baylor.
That's also true.
You both love the Cowboys. Yeah.
No.
That's remotely not true because Will's a jerk and he likes the Lions.
I mean, I don't know. At the end of this podcast, he may become a Cowboys fan. We got him cheering for Royals home runs now.
That's a little different.
That was a sarcastic cheer. It was a cheer in defeat.
And
not a common Tucker
just struck out. All right, one away in the top of the ninth. All right, so, Callie, I told you we're going to move it quicker this week, and here we go. All right, sorry, I'm looking over my notes. I did take notes again. Let's see if this does work for me this week.
Oh, dude, I don't even have my one random fact. I got to find one.
You already came up with Charlie Strong is short. Does that work?
It doesn't apply to any game this week.
That's not a fact. UT doesn't even play this week. Come on, Dia.
True. Well, I mean, usually Will's fact doesn't relate to any team we're talking about.
That's also true.
Like, a couple weeks ago, it was about an SMU game when we talked about SMU the following week.
Yeah, that's
it. But I was able to slip it in there.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that one. All right, so our first game of the week. This is actually probably our best week of football. Thursday night, we have number 18 UCLA going to number 15 Stanford. Stanford is a 6.5-point favorite. Sally, what are your thoughts on that game?
UCLA has too many people injured on defense. Stanford runs the ball very, very well, hits you in the mouth. I think this game is closer than 6.5. I have Stanford to win, UCLA to cover.
So, you know, Stanford has actually struggled to run the ball this year.
I know they've struggled to run the ball this year, Will, but UCLA's defense is now down, I believe, its fourth starter for the year. And you're going to tell me that they're going to stop.
We have an update. The Astros have been eliminated.
All right. Well, on that note, God bless baseball season. God, dear the state of Texas, stop playing baseball.
The Cubs are still playing. Come on.
All right. You got one. Oh, okay.
Chuck's lived in Chicago for about 3 years, and he's all over these teams already.
I mean, I'm an Astros fan first, but the Cubs are my NL team.
Okay.
That makes you feel better. Cubs are my NL team, too.
Why not? They're my two now. Mm-hmm. All right, you were talking about Christian McCaffrey.
Wait, say that again?
Never mind. Okay. So Christian McCaffrey, Stanford's running back. Yes, he struggled early. He's actually got to go.
Ed McCaffrey's son.
Mm-hmm. They actually have a pretty all-NFL backfield with McCaffrey, and then Barry Sanders Jr. is his backup. But Christian McCaffrey's turned it on lately.
And somehow this is their worst running team in years.
Which is real weird, by the way.
Well, they also don't have the offensive line they used to have, which is also a major component.
They actually have a pretty decent offensive line. It's not as great as it was in the past, but it's still pretty good.
I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just not. I mean, they had a guard who was like, what was it, Austin Pete or something like that? It was a first-round draft pick last year. Anyway, Kevin Hogan's playing pretty good. I mean, he's playing great this year. He's completing 68% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's passing for 9.6 yards per attempt. Their wide receivers, everybody's getting touches. UCLA got smoked last week. Josh Rosen is very good as a freshman, but he's not very good overall quite yet. This will be the best defense they've seen. I think Stanford, like Sally, wins the game. I think UCLA keeps this close.
Yep.
I mean, you guys have basically said everything that I was going to say. I don't know if Stanford can score enough points with UCLA's offense to cover that spread. I lean Stanford to win, and I also think UCLA covers the 6.5. I think you're looking at something like a 31-28 type of game. Not real confident. I think it'd go either way. But I agree with basically everything else said.
Sally, high five.
I'm not betting. Oh, high five all the way around. We got three covers. I'm not betting this game, just for the record.
I think that means Chuck is, like, challenged, so he might try it now.
Mm-hmm. No, challenge accepted.
Chuck, this game actually is coming to Chicago. You got a very good matchup. Will you be in attendance?
No, because isn't this game at 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a brunch
stuff. I have to watch the Baylor game at that time. Yeah, I know where my loyalties lie.
We're going to go and put you on the record. Have you watched a full Baylor game this year?
Yep.
Okay.
Baylor, Texas Tech. It is the only one I've fully watched, though.
Okay, so we got to get number 2 on the board this week, huh?
Yeah, I'm not interested in watching Baylor versus Lamar or Baylor versus I don't even know the shitty ass schools that we played.
Texas Tech.
I know the Big 12. Texas Tech, Kansas, Lamar. What do we play? Rice.
SMU and Rice. Oh, I
watched the SMU game too.
Okay, so there's two.
So two.
All right, so Chuck, Iowa, 2.5-point favorite, going to Northwestern.
You know where I'm going, Northwestern. They're going to – I feel like the spread – so Iowa's not very good. We all know that, even though they have a legit chance to go undefeated in the regular season. Northwestern is probably – I mean, not probably. It is the most difficult game left on their schedule. I think that Northwestern – is going to bounce back from getting destroyed against Michigan. It's going to be a typical Iowa-type slugfest. I got Northwestern winning 16-12.
For the record, I would not go to that game either with that score. Sally, where are you lying on this one?
I honestly think that Iowa is going to run all over Northwestern.
What?
I just don't trust Northwestern. I'm sorry, man. I can't get behind Pat Fitzgerald. I just can't do it.
What?
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I also can't get behind Iowa. But if you're telling me that Iowa is only favored by less than a field goal, I think that's easy. It's easy money, Will.
Not watched Iowa play football this year.
I did watch the Wisconsin – regretfully watched the Wisconsin-Iowa game. And Iowa went on the road to Madison and stuffed Joel Stave. And if you're telling me Wisconsin – or
when you say stuffed at the goal line, it was more of Joel Stave just turned around and fumbled the ball.
So you got the
– I was more referring to Stave.
Do you know that Stave has – because you always talk about him having the yips.
He did.
They showed like a stat against whoever Wisconsin played last week that he has like the third most wins in Wisconsin history. He's got like the fifth most touchdown passes in Wisconsin history.
Are you kidding me?
I think it's pretty funny after all the trash Dia talks about him.
Okay.
Not that he's really that good. But
go back and look at it. Last year, about – September, he literally said he had the yips, which is why he didn't play most of last year. That was his own words.
Dude, I'm telling you. That's one quarterback in the Big Ten that – and I think the Big Ten is littered with terrible quarterback play.
How is he like a leading – I'm looking at his numbers. Last year he had 9 touchdown passes. The year before
I think he's got 24 on his career.
And that's the top 5 in their like history?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not something to brag about. Seth Russell has that in 5 games.
Oh, my God. This is dude, I'm sorry. You guys sit here and I'm done. I can't even talk about this game. It just bothers me. I got Iowa. That's it. Dia, you go.
I'm also taking Iowa. Iowa's run defense is fantastic. what's his name? Clayton Thornton or whatever. West Virginia's quarterback. He's not good. They still don't have an offense. Their defense is very good, but you're going to have they run the ball. Iowa can stop the run. Northwestern secondary is very good, and they're good at stopping the pass. Iowa doesn't really pass the ball, so I'm not too worried about that aspect of it. I think Iowa's going to win the game. I think they're going to cover the 2.5 at Northwestern.
This could possibly be the best top 25 matchup this week.
Nope.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but dear God, no, it's not going to be good. The game might end 6-3.
That's why they put it at 11. Just sleep right through it.
No, I wish I could, Dia. I wish I could.
Is that why they put Baylor, West Virginia at 11, Dia?
They put that on because Fox doesn't have a national TV spotlight, and this is their only national game TV spot of the week because of baseball. That's how I'm spinning it.
Oh, God. Dia, come on.
Baseball?
Anyway, go ahead.
Sally.
I just hear a lot of noises out of you.
It's a lot of frustration when we talk about Big Ten football.
So let's go to the SEC with a lot of your compadres down there in South Carolina. Ole Miss goes to Memphis. Ole Miss is a 10.5-point favorite. Also a brunch game.
Oh, my God. This game actually annoys me once again because Ole Miss, no matter what, gets absolutely zero hell for scheduling one of the worst non-conferences of all time they get four cake games. I'm taking Ole Miss to absolutely mollywomp Memphis at Memphis at whatever, 11 a.m. Central, 12 Eastern. This game's not even going to be close.
Should be noticed. Memphis is 5-0.
I was going to say, let me pop in here for a second.
Go ahead.
Memphis is 5-0 in one of the best non-Power 5 teams in the country, non-Power 5 conference.
Are we talking about putting Calipari coach them in basketball? Come on, Will. This is SEC football. Get out of here with your conversation.
They have one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Lynch.
Oh, congratulations.
So, now, that being said, this game is either going to be close and Memphis has a chance to win this outright, or Ole Miss is just going to straight destroy them. It's kind of one of those all-or-nothing type games. I'm going to take my chances that Memphis, because of their high-powered offense, I'm going to go on a limb and say they keep it close. Give me Memphis to cover the 10.5. This is a game where Ole Miss could possibly win by 40 or could lose.
Yeah, I went in thinking that too. After kind of looking at numbers, which probably means I'm going to be wrong, I think Ole Miss is going to cover the 10.5, and here's why. Although Memphis, like you said, has a great quarterback in Paxton Lynch, which, by the way, if you're a quarterback in high school and mid-majors are offering you, your last name's Lynch, you need to go. We got Jordan Lynch, now Paxton Lynch, both doing work. Anyway, Memphis, they give up lots of explosive plays, like, on the defensive side all through the air. Chad Kelly's been a pretty good quarterback, one of the better passing quarterbacks in the SEC. I think they're going to cover the basically 11 on the road.
Over, under, Kimdiche has 2.5 sacks.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over. Taking 3 sacks, guaranteed. That guy is going to absolutely obliterate Windrick Lynch or whatever the guy's name
is. Well, I can really start to see how you only got 4 games right last week.
Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me that Memphis' quarterback is going to have all
that time. By calling Memphis the biggest non-conference cupcake in the country, did you look at Baylor's schedule?
No, I'm saying Ole Miss has 4 non-conference cupcakes, including Fresno State, New Mexico State, which is an absolute joke, now Memphis, and some other crap team, Tennessee Martin or something like that.
Yep, come on. 5-0 Memphis, probably ends the season something like 10-2. Cupcake.
Okay, fine. You can say 10-2 all you want, but when they're playing teams like Cincinnati on a Thursday night in the middle of freaking September, I'm not going to sit here and get behind Memphis.
Hey, Sally, how many sacks did you put in Ndiche at?
3 to get.
He has less than that this year.
Yeah, Sally, he has 4.5 career sacks in 2.5 years.
You know what? I got an absolutely mollywomp at a last guy named Lynch.
He's 1.5 this year. He had 2 all of last year and 1.
Well, I bet you can get some pretty good odds on that in Vegas.
Yeah, I'd probably lose a lot of money there, Will. I'll be the first to admit that.
We can tell.
Yeah.
So our next game, Sal, you can kick us off. Westfog goes to Waco to face your number 2 Baylor Bears. The line's 21.5. Also a brunch game.
First of all, mad that this game is a brunch game because of baseball. More importantly, Baylor is going to be seeking revenge. Briles has been avoiding that comment all week, saying that West Virginia is not a revenge game. I'm going to go out on a limb and say BS. If I'm Baylor, I hang 100 points on these guys. I work with a guy from West Virginia. He's been smug all year. I had small group with 2 guys from West Virginia. I want Baylor to absolutely mollywomp these guys. Unfortunately, I believe Baylor only wins by 17 to maybe 2 touchdowns. I'm going to take West Virginia to cover, and that's enough for West Virginia. When they cover the spread, there'll be couch burning going on. Guaranteed.
Chuckster?
So, I don't think revenge really plays a whole lot into it. I'm going to say that from watching West Virginia the last 2 weeks against Oklahoma and against Oklahoma State, their defense creates a lot of turnovers. I know they lost Joseph. I think they're going to create enough turnovers to keep the score respectable, and their offense is good enough if they don't turn it over to score some points. I do think this game will be a game that's never really in doubt, but 3 touchdowns is a lot. I'm going to take, kind of like Salil said, West Virginia to lose by somewhere between 2 like 13 to 20 points, somewhere in that range.
Who do you guys think I'm going to talk about?
I think you're going to talk about someone that makes me very angry, dear.
Jeff?
Prancer.
Mr. Rashadric Linwood is very underrated. He's averaging 9.5 yards a carry. I don't think West Virginia has a defensive front to slow him down. Therefore, you're going to bring the safeties up. You're already missing Carl Joseph. Prancer goes over the top. Touchdown. I don't think Vegas has figured out how to set a line for this Baylor team. I'm still thinking Baylor is going to cover the 21.5. I differ in the sense that I think Baylor does have a sense of revenge in them. They're college kids. They know what kept them out of the playoff last year. They're not complete morons. This game is also why me and Chuck have to do a podcast because we're not allowed to watch football together anymore because every time we see games together, we lose. I went to Chuck's place last year, watched the Westfall game, lost. He came in town last year to go to the Cotton Bowl and watch Sparty, lost.
So I didn't quite make it to that game, so you can't really –
You were in the same zip code. You may not have made it, though.
Too hungover to get to that game.
Yeah. But anyway, Skylar Howard, he started off the year great. In his last three games, he's thrown 5 picks, less than 60% passing. Also, in his last two games, he hasn't gone over 200 yards. I think he's going to get his yards. I don't think he's going to score enough. I think if you give Baylor's defense a lead, they're going to start playing more aggressive. They're going to pick him off a time or two. I think Baylor covers a 21.5. Full disclosure, I'm going to pick Baylor to cover every spread until they don't all of a sudden here in a couple weeks. So, yep.
Yeah, well, you're going to be wrong this week, D. I'm sorry. Not trying to be mean.
I feel kind of bad that I'm on the same side as Salil.
We're going to go to my former team. My dad's squad, I get texts every week about him. Florida State's a 7-point favorite facing Louisville. I think the Noles, I like Everett Golson. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's been playing pretty well. He seems to have solved his problems from what he had last season at Notre Dame. But the real reason they're still winning is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is, I mean, he's in the Heisman running, but without him, Florida State is defeated at this point. Lamar Jackson is Louisville's best offensive threat. The actual running back of Brandon Radcliffe just isn't that good. Louisville's a great defense. I just don't know if they can score consistently enough. I have FSU to cover the 7. I'm not really confident in it. I pick them every week, and they seem to not cover, but I have them winning at 11 in Tallahassee. Sally?
Salil. Salil.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb. Again. Yeah. Yeah.
He ran out to get that ice cream real quick.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Good. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm going to say I agree with you on Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in college football. Obviously, Leonard Fournette won. D is going to say Shaq Linwood won, but that's a different story. FSU also has a better defense. I'm going to only tell you how you're wrong because Leonard Fournette plays against much better defenses than Shaq Linwood plays against. If you're going to put
Eastern Michigan is not a better defense.
Okay, Dia, go up against – name another team, especially one, Mississippi State. I absolutely think that Shaq Linwood would not run for 160-something yards. I'm a huge Baylor homer, and I don't think that would happen.
Last thing I'll say about Shaq Linwood is he has 45 less carries than Leonard Fournette. I'm not saying he's the
talent. Well, I don't know how much of a Baylor homer you are. You're generally a Baylor pessimist.
Yeah, we got a special segment week.
That's fine. We can have this. I am a pessimist. I will absolutely say that I'm a Baylor pessimist, but without fail, I have been right about 3 times, and those 3 times I'm holding on to. Anyway,
what 3 times?
Back to Dalvin Cook and Florida State. Florida State has the better defense, not by much, but it's better. I just don't see Louisville going on the road and winning or losing by less than a touchdown. The team is kind of just, I want to say scatterbrained, but I trust Florida State more at this point than I do Louisville.
So, Salil's wrong again.
Oh, come on.
So, I mean, Florida State, first of all, never beats anybody like they're supposed to. Second of all, I don't think this Florida State team is really that good. They're coming off a kind of emotional high and big game beating Miami. No, Miami's not that good either.
Emotional high for Miami.
Okay. Yeah, come on.
But it's a big rivalry game to them. So, I mean, they grew up playing each other in high school. So
to better SMU. Who cares?
Okay.
Another interesting point by Dia.
And Rice.
So, no.
Once again.
It's like saying, like, Prairie View A&M, throw them in that category.
Anyway, they did continue. Play in high school if that's your qualification.
So anyways, Louisville also comes in. They're pretty battle-tested. They played a much better competition than Florida State. I think this is just kind of more of a slugfest. I don't know. I think it can go either way who wins the game. I'll take the 7 points. I think it's a field goal, 3 or 4 point game either way. So I'll take the 7 points.
All right. So it pains me to say it, but the game of the week is number 10, Alabama, 4 point favorite going to College Station to face number 9, Texas A&M. Sally, we're going to get your thoughts on A&M.
I dislike that school a lot, obviously, but I will say this, they can throw the ball and they can sack the quarterback. My personal thoughts, unfortunately, are going to go with the Aggies to cover 4 points. I still think Bama wins. I don't think by that much, but that secondary of Bama is going to be battle tested. And I say this, I have a Bama homer who is usually pretty accurate about games. And I talked to him about this one. He's actually nervous about this game. He thinks they're going to lose. And he doesn't say that about any game, which makes me think that at least Texas A&M is going to keep it close. So, unfortunately, I'm going to take the Aggies to cover the 4 points.
It sounds like you know a smart football fan, because I think Alabama will lose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
Is it? I mean, if we know what Alabama...
You're going to tell me why?
Yeah, I'm getting there, yeah. I mean, who does Alabama struggle covering defensively? They're spread teams. Ohio State was able to spread them out. Granted, they had Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know what Will's doing.
I'm not doing anything.
So, did you hear that noise?
It wasn't too? Me. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Maybe it's me talking. Who knows?
I doubt that.
A&M runs the spread. A&M runs the spread very well. I think Trey Carson needs to be more involved in the running game, but I've thought that for A&M's offense for about 3 years. Kyle Allen's the best quarterback they're going to face in the SEC this year. Alabama's defense is good, but it's on the road. They struggle. They're good up front, but they struggle in space, and they struggle defending the pass. If you're going to pick an area of their defense to attack, it's their secondary. Derrick Henry's a very good running back. A&M's linebacker core is their weakness. I think he's going to get his. The problem with A&M or Bama to me is that they're going to have to go on the road and score consistently. Jake Coker is not that special of a quarterback. I think A&M is going to win the game, so I'll definitely take the 4 points.
So if anybody listened to my conversation with our SEC correspondent, John Griffin, last week, we know I said A&M is the best team in the SEC, and they're going to prove it this week. They will. I agree with you. They're not just going to cover the spread. They will win this game outright. I agree with that. The reasons that Dia said why Alabama is going to lose is the exact reasons that I think so, too. The other thing that a lot of people don't talk about, too, is John Chavis being the defensive coordinator for Texas A&M. So everybody makes a big deal about Will Muschamp going to Auburn. So John Chavis is kind of overlooked. Chavis was the defensive coordinator at LSU. I know A&M runs a little bit different style of defense, but he knows Bama very, very well. I think A&M probably wins this by 10 points. I don't think it's even going to be close.
I'm with you. The only reason I hope that it's close is because I'm going to be driving back down Highway 6, and I don't really want to run into all the A&M traffic. So, it's a key thing for my Saturday.
Gotta get back to that Pat Green concert.
Dude, I got a full day on Saturday. Got leaving here at 6:30, going to the Coda tailgate for an hour, hour and a half. Going to the game, gonna get back in the car, gonna drive my ass back home, gonna go to the Pat Green concert, gonna sleep a lot on Sunday, maybe take Charlie to a dog park finally. Who knows? So,
you got to hit up that one in George Bush Park.
That's where we're going. Now I don't have my test to study for anymore. Got some free time. So, right, Sally, where would you rank A&M on your colleges that you dislike list? Or hate, maybe?
Good Lord. Number one. Is that even a freaking question?
Would you say you keep a hatred list?
I absolutely keep a hatred list, and you know this is a fact.
Exactly. All right, so before the podcast, me and Chuck asked Sally if he could create a list of things he hates this fall. So ever since July, I'll give Sally credit. Since June or July, maybe before that, he said he does not like Seth Russell. We all know where I stand on Seth Russell. And he thinks that Jared Stidham, Baylor's true freshman quarterback, should be leading the team. So we asked Sally to make a list of things he hates this fall. So, Sally, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. Obviously, number one overall that I hate the most of fall, I'll give you at the end. I'm going backwards. Right. Number five, fall weddings. Why people get married in the fall during football season absolutely just boggles my mind. I cannot understand or fathom what it takes to be like, hey, guys, let's have a fall wedding. You know that it's football season. And as a man, you tell your wife, listen, there's one season I don't want to get married in. I don't care if you like the color of the leaves or some bull crap like that. You're not getting married in the fall. I'm so tired of going to fall weddings. They are ruining my tailgating, a.k.a. couchgating, sitting on the couch in my boxers while eating breakfast tacos and watching Big Ten football. I'm so tired of that. Number four.
So you know why? Because they're that's not their wife yet, so they have to please them.
I guess. I mean, I feel like I spend more time trying to, like...
So you know my wedding's in the fall, right?
No, it's not. It's June. You know why? Because it's summer and it's beautiful, and that's when you get married. Am I right, Dia? Am I right, Salil? Yes. We got... All three of us will be getting married or have gotten married in the summer. When so
for those of you who don't know us, I got married in June this summer. Sally got married in July this summer. And Chuck's getting married in June of next summer. But I will agree with Sally. One of my ground rules, me and Whitney got engaged the week before football season. Why? Because I didn't want to do it in football season.
Exactly.
And I told her, and she's well aware. Me and Whit have dated since college, and we all know this. We do not do anything in football season.
So, absolutely agree.
That was a very romantic proposal. I did it because I had to do it before football season.
I even told her this year. So, like, she's off to a good start before Baylor – like season openers. This year we bought a couch the week before the Baylor home opener. So,
yep.
This keeps trending. She'll get something else before the next time.
Exactly. That's working out real well. Okay, yeah. So number four.
Oh, by the way, so our other biggest football fan, or one of them, is K Money. And Kirch not only got married in football season, it was on homecoming.
Dude, I don't even want to get started. I know K Money's going to hate me for saying this. But come on, man. Even LJ's a big football fan. That one hurt.
And Beanwood, who texted me today about what time we're tailgating, first time I've heard from him since the SMU game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he wants to know. No, his wedding was the day of the last Baylor A&M game, so we had to watch the TV at his wedding. And he was like, why aren't you guys dancing? Because we were at the bar watching the game.
Yeah, what do you think, Greenwood, a.k.a. Beanwood?
All right, Sal, what's number four?
Number four. I absolutely hate this more than anything about fall. Leaves on the ground. Why do people obsess about, like, the seasons change, it's great, and then leaves fall on the ground, and then my ass is forced to go outside by a certain man named Pops, and I got to go rake leaves or mow them up, and then I got allergies for a freaking month because dirt from God knows where gets up my nose. I absolutely hate leaves on the ground. F you, fall.
Sally, now that you're a married man, do you have to do that this fall? What about Samir?
No, God bless, dude. I live in a freaking apartment with my wife, and we pay – well, I don't pay anyone, let's be honest. The HOA pays some cheap guy to come rake leaves or some crap, or he mows it. I don't even know what goes on out there.
Nor Chuck, your neighborhood has a lot of trees. Do you guys get a lot of leaves too?
Dude, I hate raking.
See? See?
See, I live in a newer neighborhood, and we don't have any big trees, so it's perfect. And I live in Texas, so they don't, like, fall on the ground and change colors. The trees just die. That's what happens.
Yeah, see, because ours is a pretty new neighborhood, so, like, the trees aren't that big, but it gets so fucking windy up here that they just fly all over the place. You start raking, And then, boom, where you just raked, all the leaves are back right there. It's a waste of time to even rake.
I absolutely agree.
And then the snow comes down. Oh, it's awful.
Can you get a shot back for the leaves? Is that a possibility?
No, the best thing to do is just mow your yard and then have, like, that bag on your mower.
Yep. It's the mulch and the – yeah, I know exactly
what Will's talking about. The mulch feature.
Yep. I know exactly what Will's talking about because guess what? My fat butt has done that.
Well, I'm just going to keep living here in Texas and not having to worry about it.
Shut up, dear. Number three, fall weather and the bullcrap clothes that come with it. I am so tired of freaking UGG boots and oversized sweatshirts and stupid scarves and dumb hats. Stop. I live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Slow, do you ever wear scarves?
I have been known in the past to wear a scarf, but as more of a joke than anything.
So only some gay guy people wear scarves. Scarf.
I absolutely understand that, and that's why I wear it as a joke, William.
Good God. I was just asking.
Yeah, that's fine. I absolutely hate fall weather.
Don't be
in the
so offended.
Does that come with it? I'm not offended. I'm venting about the fact that stupid clothes.
I can tell by the tone of your voice that you're offended.
Will, how often do you wear a scarf?
I have never worn a scarf a day in my life.
Do you wear, like, mittens?
Nope.
Yes. Yes, Will wears mittens.
Mm-hmm. I've never worn mittens.
I think you do.
I have worn gloves. And she's going to get
some. I wear gloves. Those are different than mittens.
What's the difference?
I am familiar with gloves.
Mittens are gay. Mittens sound like something like from like a cat or something like that.
Whitney's cat was named Mittens. And actually, so they had a first Mittens and Mittens died. So they got another cat.
Mittens Jr.
And they let Whitney name it. So she's like, Mittens.
Oh my God.
Mittens 2.0.
That's a little morbid of a story there, D-Block. But all right.
Mittens reboot.
She was like a little kid. So she's like, Mittens is back. Yeah.
All right.
I watched the Astros replay. It's not a good plan for me. What's number three?
Two. We're on two, dear.
Oh, my. Sorry, two.
That's okay. I'm going backwards, but I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Number two, the biggest thing I hate about fall, Seth Russell. That guy is a monster. You're absolutely going to see Seth Russell turn the ball over nonstop, and it's going to start this week with West Virginia, as Will said, and I'm not even going to quote myself, Will said they're going to keep it close. They have a fantastic secondary, even though their best player, called Joseph, I believe, tore his ACL. I still believe they have a fantastic secondary. They stopped us last year in old stupid couch burning town. They're going to keep it close this year. I hate you, Seth Russell. You're a dumb jerk, and you're going to throw stupid picks, and it bothers the crap out of me.
What did Prancer ever do to you?
Dude, that guy has been a thorn in my side since I watched him play against.
He sounds like he banged your mom or something like that.
Dude, no, he did not. And if he did, he probably wouldn't know where to put it. It'd probably get intercepted on the way. I'm just telling you, I do not like Seth Russell.
So, Sally, what if I tell you he's leading the country in touchdowns right now?
Oh, congratulations.
Sounds like the start of like a 30 for 30. What if I told you?
Yeah, exactly.
What if I told you he led the country in quarterback rating by 30 points right now?
And guess what? You guess who's number two in the league?
Oh, I don't even know.
Trevon Boykin. It's Boykin. Guess who's going to pass him this weekend after Mr. What
Dude,
if
you
I
might
told
want to fact check that.
I'm looking right now.
There's no, I don't think it's Trevon Boykin.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's Brandon Daughtry. Who is it? From Western Kentucky.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay.
And
where is?
Hold on. And then third is Patrick Mahomes, who Seth Russell annihilated. And then there's Boykin.
Okay, so I was off. My bad. Okay, forgive me. Jeez.
Hold on. Actually, that was a different stat. That was yards. Hold on. I might have been wrong. Oh no! Sorry, Boykin's now seventh on the list.
Oh, Salil.
Oh, actually, Salil, number three. So it's still Russell and Daughtry. But number three is your Mr. Cupcake at Memphis, Paxton Lynch.
All right, fair enough. I deserve that. But anyway, more importantly, number one of the fall hatred. Boys, this is all on you. I hate baseball. For the love of God, get that sport off the TV. It's behind times. It just now implemented replay. For the love of God, soccer implemented replay before baseball.
No, it didn't.
I don't know how.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. The,
no.
For the World Cup 2014, last year,
no.
They had replay.
They absolutely did not have replay.
Yes, they did. They had goal line. They had goal line technology.
That's not replay. That's when the ball passes the – and they didn't use it at all.
Yeah, because they didn't have any controversial goals.
But that's not replay. That's an RFID chip in a ball that passes a line.
Goal line technology, dear. That's more impressive than freaking baseball that has an umpire that doesn't know what a ball and a strike is, that has antiquated –
If they had replay technology, France would have been in the World Cup.
Yeah, so Lowell's just mad at baseball because there's not a good Canadian team.
No, there is.
No, during those like world playoffs during the summer.
Oh, I see what you
or
did.
Or during
there.
The
World Baseball Classic. And
World Baseball Classic.
It's not in the summer. That's in like
Canadians
winter.
Have a bunch of time to play.
Jason Bay is the best Canadian player.
Jason Bay was. Oh, I'm thinking Michael Bay. I thought that was a director. You're way. Yeah, okay, sure. Jason Bay was a catcher. Congratulations. Anyway, back to how baseball. First of all, baseball is the most stupid sport when they have a. They say they care about player safety, and
Hold on. We're not going to let this slide. Jason Bay played left field.
Wait, I thought he played catcher.
That's Jason Kendall.
Oh, whatever, stupid.
I wasn't even paying attention to what Solil said when he went on his Michael Bay rant.
All right, well, let's go back. Hey, I'm not done.
This ain't Transformers.
They took away collisions from home plate. But
so like, I still can't forgive him for not keeping Megan Fox in Transformers.
Dude, that's a different story. We'll get on that. But apparently she was a giant B-word behind the scenes. So Michael Bay and her had different direction. We'll get into movies on another day. But absolutely cannot stand the fact. Yeah, we don't have to, but they don't care about player safety. That's what baseball doesn't care about. They say they do.
Baseball doesn't care about player safety?
They say they take away.
This coming from you comparing it to soccer?
No, dude, they don't. Oh, okay, first of all, soccer is a foreign sport. They don't care about shit in soccer, all right? All they care about is playing defense and then, like, Barcelona having sex with a woman on a field and then scoring a goal. That's all they care about.
Did that happen or did you just make that up?
I ad-libbed a little bit. There might have been
just a little bit.
Was it that Barcelona scored or they all railed the lady on the field? Which part was
a little combo? It's all scoring, dear. Anyway.
By the way, did anybody watch U.S. versus Costa Rica last night?
I heard it was a joke.
Yeah,
I heard
it was awful. Jurgen Klinsmann needs to be fired yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad.
Did we lose to Costa Rica?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the score, dear?
1-0.
Okay, you guys make it sound like it was
4. Unforgivable.
Yeah, okay, but this is after he lost the CONCACAF, like, basically representation, CONCACAF representation to go play in the Confederations Cup. They went tied into extra time at 1-1. They lost 3-2. Both games in the U.S. You can't lose these games.
So basically, you eliminate the takeout of a catcher at home plate, but you can absolutely mollywomp and destroy a second baseman. Miguel Tejada had no chance to protect himself.
Miguel Tejada?
Is that who it was?
No. He's been retired for 4 years.
Who is the guy?
I think his name's Ruben Tejada.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was Miguel Tejada.
Miguel Tejada.
My bad. I was close.
You start asking about Brad Lidge and Dan Wheeler again?
Whatever. The guy basically could not protect himself, and I think that's absolutely true.
How old do you think Miguel Tejada is?
He's got to be like 44.
He's 41.
He's absolutely...
What's going on in the background there?
Oh, my wife's yelling at me.
She thinks Miguel Tejada's retired.
Yeah, well, he is. And I that's my bad. But basically, I absolutely think that... Dude, that slide, if you're going to tell me Chase Utley wasn't trying to be dirty about it, come on.
Dude, this is a college football podcast. We've been talking about baseball too long.
Okay, well, we're done, but that was my last rant. Basically, I can't stand the fact that they talk about player safety, and you can absolutely demolish someone at second, but you can't touch a catcher. Come on, just protect.
It's not even about taking out the guy at second, which I agree with you
on. So Solil hates baseball because they don't have player safety.
That's basically what I got
out of your point.
Well, it's also baseball's the sport that lets you beam people at 90-something miles an hour.
No, I didn't even think that's stupid. There's stupid unwritten rules. I absolutely hate baseball.
Domi ain't making it through this part of this.
Oh, he's our biggest baseball fan now that listens to us. So I really hope that Seth Russell, whenever he throws bombs versus Westphal, He doesn't have a bat, but I want to take his towel out of his belt and just like flip it like a bat flip.
All right, that's a little different.
It's different. It'll be his thing. He's like really quiet and weird, so I don't think he's going to do it, but you never know.
No, he's really weird, dear.
So all Baylor quarterbacks are weird. Like, that's just how this goes. Bryce Petty was Nick a little Florence weird. Nick Florence was weird.
I like Bryce Petty.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird guy.
He's weird.
I would disagree. I think that Bryce Petty was the most normal out of all those guys. Did you watch that video of him at his really expensive apartment in New York City?
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
Well,
yeah,
did you watch it?
He was talking about
you?
How he met Yeah.
I know you sent it to him, but did you watch
on
it?
Freaking Tinder?
No, I was hoping for the reactions, and then I could learn if I needed to watch it. So, but Sally said he liked it, so I did watch it after that.
Okay.
I did enjoy how he met Ryan Fitzpatrick on Tinder. That was pretty – dude, that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
he's a pretty funny guy.
But yeah, I remember like so before he became the starting quarterback, he put on Twitter, like, I love laundry day because all my clothes smell like really bouncy and fresh and I can roll in them. I'm like, I don't know how you're going to do. And then he set all the records.
Oh, my God. I'm glad I didn't see that. I would have ripped into him on an earlier podcast.
So speaking of ripped into, Oklahoma's offensive line is terrible, and they get to go to Kansas State. Oklahoma's a 4.5-point favorite. Chuck, how do you see that going?
Oklahoma wins. Covers the 4.5. That's how I see it going. So K-State had a tough they basically choked on applesauce against TCU with the chance to win, make an upset. I think they'll be a little bit drained. I know it's tough to bet against Bill Snyder at home. I just don't think they have enough firepower to stay with OU. Give me OU to cover the spread. And OU is going to come out after getting their ass beat by midget Charlie Strong.
Solo?
I actually agree with William on this one. I'm going against my brain because, as William said, Kansas is 4-1 this year against the spread. The only one they lost so far is Louisiana Tech. I don't want to pick against Bill Snyder, but in this case, I think OU comes out focused. They have a reason to prove themselves. I also think last week Lincoln Riley had more to do with it than people think. He did go up against Mike Stoops for about 10 years, so he kind of knows what Stoops runs on defense, and I'm pretty sure that was a big advantage. So I'm going to have to go with OU. They're coming up. They have to make a statement.
So I still don't really know who Oklahoma is. Their best player on offense.
They're Sooners.
Oh, Jesus, Will.
Mm-hmm. They may have peaked too soon. That might be true. Their best offensive player, they're not giving the ball to. When you have some RJ Perine in the backfield, don't overthink it. Hand them the damn ball. And they don't. And I don't know why. What else did I write down? Their offensive line is just terrific. Kansas State last week played great. I can't understand how Bill Snyder does this all the time. Granted, they lost, but they still played very well against a better team. They're tough at home, so this could be a letdown game for them, though. I got Oklahoma covering the 4.5. At some point, their offense is going to wake up, so I'm taking Oklahoma. We're getting all sorts of weird feedback from a computer. I'm venturing to say it's Will's iPad, but he will debate that.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
You keep moving, Will.
I'm not moving.
Well, then we have
a
fourth person just running around.
Yeah, apparently.
All right.
It's not me because I'm moving my microphone as fast as I can right now.
I hear somebody drinking something.
That's Sally's microphone, so it's definitely not him. Maybe it's me just sitting here. Whenever I talk, we get noises.
Yes.
This is riveting.
Wait, is this it?
No.
Nope.
Oh, that's me playing on my iPhone.
I don't know why that would factor in, but that's not it.
Okay. Well, that was all I got.
Okay. So next game, Michigan State goes to Michigan. Michigan fans are amped up, and Michigan is an 8-point favorite. Will, I know you've been outspoken all week to me on this game. What are your thoughts?
I don't know what you think about being outspoken. I'm just kind of amazed at the line being 8 points.
You've texted me about that three times, so that's what I'm going to say is outspoken.
Well, I just think it's like a very – I mean, I'm not – I don't have a strong opinion on the game. I think 8 points is a lot. So it's one of those – I think both Michigan State and Michigan are both overrated. Michigan is not as good as they've looked the last couple of games. So if you think about their season, they lost to a Utah team that I think, again, is overrated but still a pretty good team. They destroyed a shitty Oregon State team. They beat a destroyed a BYU team that is they caught at the right time right after quarterback got hurt. Northwestern, as much as I like Northwestern, they're not that great of a team.
They're the best team in the country as of last week.
Who was it? We all know I was joking. Who was the other team they beat? Oh, Maryland. Maryland's like the worst Big Ten school.
Already fired their coach. Yep.
Already fired their coach. So Michigan State, on the other hand, their big win is they beat Oregon, who can't beat anybody. And so Michigan State hasn't covered a spread all year. My head tells me I trust Connor Cook more than I trust Jake Rudolph, but the line is just kind of so wacky that my gut tells me to take Michigan and to cover the 8 points.
Mr. Aurora.
I would agree with Will that the line is wacky, and I think that's the overhypeness that America is sitting on Michigan. I do think Connor Cook is the best quarterback Michigan has faced this year. I do agree that Michigan is highly overrated. The hype train is in full form on this right now. I listen to multiple ESPN person. I know that's not me scratching. Will, stop moving.
I just yawned right there. That's my bad.
Okay. Maybe you have a radio on.
Anyway, I absolutely think that Sparty covers the 8 points. I don't know why everyone is so big on Michigan. Their offense is abysmal. Their defense is legit, but they've also not played anyone that has a remotely good offense. So I don't, other than Utah, and I don't think it's a fair judge to say that Michigan is fully back yet. I think the khaki pants get covered. They might win by one or two, but I'm thinking Sparty is going to cover this game. They're not losing by eight.
They'll win by just 1 point or 2 points?
Maybe. I just do not see them winning by 8 points. Sparty, this is a pride game, man.
I think the problem for Michigan State is they haven't been able to run the ball this year.
This is true. That is true.
Make Michigan State one-dimensional, and then it just comes down to Connor Cook. I'm torn on it. Like I said, the only reason I'm taking Michigan in this one is it's just such a weird – it's one of those Vegas lines that it's like Vegas is – they're begging for people to bet on Michigan State. I think it's like 75% of the bets are going on Michigan State. The line keeps going up. It's one of those really? That are just begging for people to take Michigan State. So that's why I'm taking Michigan.
If this was a video podcast, you could see me like nodding very dramatically a couple minutes ago. So Sparty's problem is their running game. Last week, their leading running back, based on carries on the year, Madre London, had 1.8 yards per carry versus Rutgers. That's a major problem versus Michigan in their defensive front. Jim Harbaugh teams play very physical. But like you guys have both said, my first note on this game was Connor Cook is their best quarterback they've played all year. And actually, he might be the best quarterback they are going to play all year. Cardale Jones hasn't looked great, so it's probably going to be Connor Cook. But the running game has to get moving if you're going to cover. But like Will said, Michigan has faced nobody offenses. Like, Northwestern is winning, and they are ranked, but it's not because of their offense. Maryland fired their coach. They're so bad offensively and defensively. But they're also not going to get shut out like Michigan has pitched three straight shutouts, which is damn impressive. But I think Michigan's going to win this game. I don't think they're going to cover the spread. Michigan hasn't beat Sparty in 6 years. I don't think they're going to win by almost 10 points now. So give me Sparty to cover the game.
Maybe that's just my bias right now, and I think if the American public's going with Sparty, that's making me more nervous. So
yeah, I mean, the line movement doesn't make much sense in why I'm going with Sparty, but just based on football numbers and not the Vegas aspect, which doesn't make much sense since we're basically going off Vegas in this podcast, but that's kind of what I'm thinking I should do. Sally, we're going to let you talk about your home – not your home state, because I'm still always going to claim that you're from Texas. But
no, he's from Canada.
Not true. Well, that's true.
It's true. So your that second home state before you moved to your latest home state in South Carolina. So I'll let you introduce us to the Vandy, South Carolina game.
All right. Vandy, South Carolina. Spurrier retired this year. We're not going to get any more good comments. South Carolina is – awful on defense. I'm not big on them at all anymore, and most of that is because, first of all, they started Perry Orth last week, which still baffles me, because the last game they had Lorenzo, I forgot his last name, but the quarterback is actually really good. That is a true freshman. He came in and commanded the offense. Perry Orth is very hesitant, but I think this team responds to Spurrier retiring. They're also playing Vandy, who is terrible in general and terrible on the road. They are giving half a point towards Vandy at the line being 2.5. I'm going to take South Carolina to cover. They're at home, first game without Spurrier. They got a little bit of fight in them. I'm really thinking that they win by about 7. They win by a touchdown.
Both these teams suck. Bottom of the SEC. Like this, these teams, no way they could ever cut it in the Big Ten.
Interesting transition.
So I don't have a reason. Don't know anything about either team really. Give me Vanderbilt.
So
because I like Nashville.
I took one note on this game. My note I wrote down was I was going to write things down about Vandy's offense, but I looked and said, yeah, I'm not doing that. That's the only thing I wrote down. So the name you're looking for is Lorenzo Nunez for South Carolina.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, yeah, even he's not good. Like, your problem is
the only guy on either team that's any good is Farrow.
Yes.
No, Farrell Cooper's a monster.
He is, but the problem is you can't get him the ball. Not you, but like collective you in South Carolina.
I agree.
Slo probably couldn't get him the ball either.
I disagree. I would run Wildcat with him every play. I don't even care.
I probably would too. So Lorenzo Nunez has 370 yards passing. He's also leading South Carolina in rushing with 299 yards rushing.
Dual threat.
Yeah, yep. Dual threat. He's got 4 total touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
Dual threat for offense and defense.
I'm going to take Vandy because I think Vandy's going to win. So, we pretty much just put this game on the list because, one, Sally lives in South Carolina. And as we learned, we went down there in July. Most of his friends are Gamecock fans. Two,
I don't know why.
I don't know why. If they have a chance to jump on the Clemson bandwagon, they need to do it quickly.
They're like, not going to.
Because in general, like, South Carolina has been in the SEC East for how long?
108 years.
I want to say no. They joined the ACC. They moved from the ACC in the 90s. Come on.
Feels like forever.
Okay. So my saying this is as long as they've been in there, Missouri has won the East more in the last 2 years than South Carolina has ever.
Yeah, I think they've only won it once, and that was the year they got mollywhopped by Bama.
So that's exactly my point. They've never really been that good.
Bama.
They've been fine, but they're never really been that good. You have a Hall of Fame coach, and guess what? You're still not that good. So I don't think things get better for South Carolina, and that's just
fair enough
facts. But I also wanted to read my favorite Spurrier quote. We're quoting about an Auburn library fire. He said, the real tragedy here is that 20 of the books that got burned, 15 weren't even colored yet.
I enjoyed his quote about Peyton Manning.
Which was?
I don't have it pulled up, but it was something about Peyton Manning came back for his senior bowl or for his senior year so he could be a 3-time Citrus Bowl MVP.
And for the record, their one division title was in 2010 when they got mollywopped by
Bama.
Cam Newton. Auburn. Bama. Well, they beat Bama that year. Trust Roll me, damn I was watching that game in a ball. Okay, all right, moving on. I can't even take you seriously.
So, speaking of...
So did Sally take South Carolina, the rest of us took Vandy?
I think so.
Yeah, I took South Carolina that game.
Sally, so how much, just in general, how much crap are you giving your South Carolina friends these days?
I'm not giving them crap until Baylor wins a lot more. And if Baylor wins the national championship or gets to the playoff, I
will... Hold on. Just for your own sake here, you can't wait till January to give the team that's 2-4 crap.
No, I'm not going to, because one of my good friends is a huge South Carolina fan, and he's actually logical when it comes to South Carolina football. But there's about five of them that I can't take seriously. Mm-hmm. So I want to wait to absolutely turn that knife and be like, hey, remember when you guys talked smack about Baylor being terrible and they're in the playoff? That's when I will absolutely turn that knife.
Well, here, but so let's see if we can give you confidence going into work come maybe next Monday, all right? So here's the rest of South Carolina's games. You tell me which games they win. You ready? They have two wins now.
Yeah, here we go.
They go this weekend. Vanderbilt's coming to Columbia. Win or
loss.
They're
getting that win.
All right,
I'm telling
you right. They go to A&M next weekend. No, sorry, two weekends from
this weekend.
They're getting
mollywhopped.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unfortunately, they're going to get mollywhopped.
They go to Tennessee after that.
Yeah, I'm probably going to lose that one, too.
They go to Florida. No, sorry, Florida comes to visit November 14th.
I'm going to go out on a limb and take the world. There's my world beater. South Carolina, for the ninth time in a row, beats Florida.
Okay, at so home. You got four. The Citadel, I'm going
South
to go
Carolina has not beaten Florida nine times in a row.
I know, I just
hold
made
on,
that.
Hold on, let's get there. So that's saying they get four wins. We all are going to say they're going to beat
Did you just say South Carolina is going to beat Florida?
We did, yes.
Yes, yes, I told you, I'm going out on a limb, man. It's a rivalry game. They don't play
it's
around.
A big old people. Stick right there, Sally.
That's fair. Dude, I got to go against the grain. But anyway, continue.
Okay, swinging your big old stick.
So the Citadel's next. We're going to give that to them? That's five?
Yeah, dude, they're going to beat the Citadel.
Okay, last game of the year. If they win the game, they're going bowling. Are they going to beat Clemson?
No, because Clemson's in my top
Clemson's
four,
going so. Clemsoning.
Okay.
No, Clemson ain't. Unfortunately, Clemson ain't Clemsoning against South Carolina this year. That team is bad.
Just to keep it basic, and I know I keep being the homer on the podcast because it's really fun. It's really fun these days and easy. Sally, do you think Baylor beats West Virginia this weekend?
I hope they do, but it's not going to be by 21, dear.
Okay, so if you think or Baylor 22. Wins, okay, so even if they lose. You don't even have South Carolina passing them. So feel free to talk all the crap you want at the office. Go for it.
No, I will. Absolutely. Yeah, I just don't want to talk crap to jinx it. Yeah, exactly. If we get in the playoffs, I'll talk all the crap I want. But until then, I'm not saying anything because I don't want to jinx it.
Fair enough. All right, so we're going to stick in the SEC for the team you think South Carolina is going to beat. Florida goes to number six, LSU. LSU's a 9.5-point favorite. Chuck, what do you think?
I got Florida covers, what is it, 9.5?
Yep.
9.5, easy. Mm-hmm. LSU, dude, you're going to love this. So LSU has played pretty much nobody besides Mississippi State. They're kind of overrated. Leonard Fournette is carrying a relatively young, inexperienced LSU offense.
I think the word you're looking for is bad.
Yeah. That is the word you're looking for. Mm-hmm.
They kind of covering up for what's their quarterback's name?
Brandon Harris.
He hasn't had to make any throws. He made some throws against last week's opponent, South Carolina, but so did Grayson Lambert. He completed 96% of his passes, and we see how good he is.
fantastic.
So I would have taken Florida even with Will Grier. I think with the corners that Florida has, they are going to really challenge Brandon Harris to make some throws, which I don't think he's going to be able to make. So then they're going to load the box up against Fournette. So he's not going to run wild like he has over the last couple of weeks. That being said, Florida's not going to move the ball a whole lot either on offense because their offense just sucks. I've got Florida. I think Florida has a chance to win the game, but I think LSU probably still wins. But I think it's about a field goal game either way. So that's why I'll take 10 points all day.
Sally Monster?
All right, Dia. I'm going to agree with Will. This team from LSU is based on one man, and it's Leonard Fournette. Brandon Harris is a walking joke, dude. I'm sorry. LSU has all the talent in the world, and they can never get a quarterback that's actually competent to play back there. It's remarkable. There's no way they win this game by 10 points. I think they win. I think it's looking at more like 16-9, 16-12, 16-13. But there's no way they're going to mollywomp Florida. Florida has one of the best defensive fronts. They're going to Leonard Fournette's going to get about 112 to 115 yards rushing, probably maybe two touchdowns, nothing crazy. They're going to get in third and six situations, and that's going to force Brandon Harris to actually complete a pass. And I believe at one point he had the lowest completion percentage out of any starting quarterback that was in the top 25. I'm not comfortable taking Brandon Harris to win by more than 10 points.
I believe the lowest passing percentage in the top 25 is now probably Northwestern.
That's now true after their
but
big game.
But I want to turn this positive because I don't have a lot of positive things to say about LSU offense. I want to congratulate Brandon Harris on his first ever 200-yard passing game against South Carolina last week.
Oh, my God.
So, which I know, like, I'm not really playing a character, but I kind of am, and that I'm a Baylor homer. But Brandon Harris had an offer to come play quarterback at Baylor, and he's like, no, I'm going to go to LSU. I don't know if that's going to get him drafted, but he's getting to play, so props to him.
He wouldn't be playing on it. I think he'd be in the Chris Johnson position where he's going to go play a
correct
different position.
Yeah.
There's no way that guy would play quarterback for us.
So Will Greer is out for the year after testing positive for a supplement. Treon Harris is now the guy. I don't really know what he's going to do with Death Valley, and the Florida running game isn't that good. That being said, LSU's offense is just Leonard Fournette, and if you're going to attack Florida's defense, you're going to attack the running game with them. Their defense and pass is great. Their rushing defense is ranked in the 40s nationally, but 9 points, 9.5 points is a lot considering they just don't blow out teams. So I'm taking Florida to cover the 9.5.
Yeah, I think Florida's pretty much blown out everybody except for
Tennessee.
What's that?
I mean, not Florida. I think LSU's blown out everybody except for Mississippi State.
I think the Syracuse game was somewhat close.
Yeah.
It was for a little while.
Bring up the scores. Hold on. Syracuse was a 10-point game. Is that a blowout?
Yeah. No.
Maybe okay. SEC-wise.
Is Eastern Michigan a 22 a blowout?
Yeah. Yes.
It is?
That's three touchdowns, Dia.
They're a 1-5 football team.
It's three touchdowns.
That's three touchdowns. I don't care how bad the other team is. It's still a blowout.
Okay. Is Mississippi State a 2-point game a blowout?
No, I said that one was close.
Sorry, the dog was attacking me. South Carolina, you're going to give up 24. We're calling that a blowout too?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I think Vandy is going to beat South Carolina, but we'll call 21 a blowout.
It's a blowout. Anything over three touchdowns has to be a blowout.
Not
all right,
on
to the next game.
Yeah, our next game, Arizona State goes to Utah. Utah, 6.5-point favorite. We're now at the night game, 6 o'clock on Saturday. So is LSU.
This game's at 6 o'clock?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who wants it?
So I'll talk about it. So we all know last week that I picked my lock of the week was Cal to cover the 7 points against Utah. Nothing's really changed about my opinion about Utah. I mean, they are very dependent on turnovers. They got 5 turnovers from Cal last week, still couldn't cover 7 points because their offense just really isn't that good. At some point, their luck with all these turnovers is going to end. I feel more confident, and you can get a 7-point spread out there somewhere at a couple most books right now. So I would take the 7 points. Arizona State, if they are on track like we saw against UCLA, they can put up enough points to beat Utah. Arizona State is also pretty turnover prone, but I'm still going to take the 7 points with Arizona State to cover and have a really good shot at winning this game.
All right. Well, Will, I'm going to go against you. I'm going to take Utah to
taking Utah one more time.
Cover this. I'm going to roll the dice with Utah one more time, and I will give you one reason. Their defense allows only 19 points a game.
Because they get too many freaking turnovers.
They do, but I also think when Arizona State actually plays a decent defensive team or a good defensive team, they get scared. And they're going on the road like into Cal Poly. Utah. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm telling you right now, I think Utah can actually do this. They have a decent offense. I'm with you. I'm shocked that Utah is winning these games the way they are, but they're winning. And sometimes when you have that perfect season, a lot of things go right. I'm thinking Utah is going to cover a touchdown, and it's going to be and it's 6.5. I'll live dangerously, and I'll go touchdown extra point. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of rephrase it. I don't think Utah is a bad team. I think they're a good team. I just think at some point covering touchdown spreads is too much for the style of play that they have.
I would agree to that, but I also think Arizona State is a little hyped up after that win against UCLA.
See, me personally, I'm kind of agreeing with both sides. I don't necessarily think it's on Utah. I think Arizona State's better than what they showed the first couple weeks of the season. I think the X factor is which Mike Brkovich is going to show up. I mean, we know Devontae Booker is going to do, and Travis Wilson, he's completing a lot of passes, but he's only scored 5 touchdowns in the year, and he's got 290 on the ground. So he's also their second leading rusher, but he's not scoring the ball a lot himself, which I think tends itself to lend to if opposing quarterbacks can get out and score quickly, you're going to be in trouble. So I think Brkovich is going to show up again for a second week in a row. I don't know if they win, but I more or less think they can cover the touchdown. But I honestly think they can give Utah their first loss of the year. So
all right.
And also, I think Utah's second loss of the year comes at the next team we're going to talk about. USC goes to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 6.5-point favorite.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about this one just to lead us off here, just to change it up a bit. I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say that USC is going to cover the 6.5 that they're underdogs against. I don't think USC is that bad of a team. I'm actually shocked that they lost the way they did against Washington. I think that had more to do with their coach. Most of the players on this team have been through a situation like this before with Ed Orgeron. This might unite them once again, and I have them covering the 6.5, but I honestly hope they beat Notre Dame. I don't think they will, but I think they cover a 6.5-point spread. Bold pick. That's my bold pick. I'm being honest. You can go ahead and rip.
You finally got something right here.
There we go.
I agree 100% with you. I think USC probably wins this game straight up. I'll take the touchdown to cover that spread. But I think with everything that's going on, USC is a pretty talented team. They can put up points. This will be, with all the distractions they have, this will be the easiest part of their week, is playing the football game.
Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame, they can score points, but I don't know if they can keep up with USC. I think USC probably wins this game by 3 to 7 points, but I'll take 7 points to cover.
Absolutely agree. Abso-frickin-lutely agree.
See, I thought I was going to be the oddball on this one. I actually also have USC. Cody Kessler's been very good. Everyone's like, oh, his Heisman career contention's over. While that might be with 2 losses already, his numbers are great. He's played very well. They don't have a consistent way that they've lost games in the last few years under Sark. So it's not like, oh, their offense is a problem, the defense or whatever. They're good offense who can put up points. I think Washington just kind of knew how to be able to play them. Chris Peterson's a good coach, so hence the loss. And, you know, I just honestly hope Stark can get better. I don't think he'll get a head coaching job for a long time, but that's how that goes. Trey Madden and Ronald Jones have been very good in the USC backfield. So I think USC can win the game in Notre Dame, pretty much in Notre Dame's playoff chances. So I also have USC.
Dude, quit copying Sewell.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Me and Sally talk before it, and, you know. All right, we got two games left. So hang on. Here we go. Penn State goes to Iowa. Oh, not Iowa State. They might actually win that game. Penn State goes to Ohio State. Ohio State is a 17-point favorite.
So, I got Ohio State to cover the 17 points. Penn State has a little bit of defense, but Christian Hackenberg gets sacked every third play, it feels like. I think Ohio State finally gets on track with their offense that you saw towards the end of last week. Ohio State wins by 27. But other than that, pretty boring game. No interest in it.
Sally?
I, like William, am not going to watch this game at all. I'm not even going to spend time on it. I do think Ohio State wins, and I think this is a backdoor cover. I think Ohio State's offense is going to get
full big terminology there.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to use a will term and a backdoor cover. I don't like Penn State, and I do know that Hackenberg will be sacked probably at least once on every drive, and that's saying a lot. That defensive line that
so what I if like he throws a pick on the first play of the drive?
Then we're going to have more problems than that, because apparently he's a first round draft pick, which I still don't understand.
Me neither. He is
only for the Texans.
I want to go ahead and point out, though, early in the year, I was saying he was terrible, and Will was telling me, no, he's going to be like the top pick in the draft. But now
I don't think he's terrible. I think he's got an atrocious offensive line.
I don't think he's good. If you can't move in today's age, if you can't move in the pocket, you're in trouble.
Yeah, dude,
quit taking over Sewell's pick right now.
Yeah, well, that's fine. He can take it over. I'm going to say Penn State covers, but it's a backdoor cover. It's going to happen late. Because Ohio State's going to have their 15th string quarterback. Braxton Miller's going to be back there throwing the ball at some point. I'm just saying. Ohio State last year was not impressive until the Wisconsin game. And up until that point, that was the last game. They got hot at the right time. I think that you're right that they do start putting it together, but I don't think it's going to be 27 points, William.
Well, Ohio State was actually pretty impressive after the first like four games of the season last year.
They almost lost to Penn State. I will say this, they went into Michigan State and won by 14, I believe, which was good. But I wasn't, once again, I'm not blown away by Big Ten football. So if you tell me you beat Iowa by 35, I'm not really blown away by that. If you tell me you beat Michigan State by 35, then we're going to have a conversation. So
that's kind of like telling me you beat this year's Auburn by 24 and South Carolina by 21.
Yeah, well, I still think LSU is very – you can say whatever you want, but I think that Leonard Fournette is fantastic. Moving back on to this, Dia, what do you got?
So two things draft-related. Christian Hackenberg is not that good, should not be a first-round pick, and Cardale Jones should have left for the draft last year. Playing more games is probably exposed – he could have. Playing more games has exposed him. He's not a top-five pick. He'll make some cash. He'll make money. He's not going to be where he was going to get drafted. Ezekiel Elliott is their only real true weapon outside of Braxton Miller this year. Keep feeding him the ball, and you're going to win. Penn State shines on their pass defense, but you can actually run the ball a little bit on them. They've limited big plays. I don't really know who they've played that can score quickly. I think Ohio State's going to win. I've gone back and forth that they cover the 17. They're kind of like Florida State for me. I think at some point they're going to show up. So I'll go ahead and gamble they show up this week versus Penn State.
That's why they call it gambling and not winning.
Uncle Brett's, I call it winning, not gambling.
Uncle Brett's best words of advice to me. They don't call it gambling. They call it gambling for a reason. They don't call it winning.
I agree.
Our last game.
I strongly disagree.
Our last game, Oregon goes to Washington. Washington's a 2.5-point favorite. This will be your Pac-12 Midnight Madness. Game kicks off at 9:30 Central Time.
Oh.
10:30 Eastern.
Sally, yeah, will you stay up for it?
No, I'll probably be in bed, locked away, dreaming about a Slumberland or something.
What's in Slumberland?
Slumberland is going to consist of Seth Russell not playing quarterback, and then that's going to consist of Jared
Stidham. It sounds like a nightmare. it
sounds more like Jared Stidham leading the Baylor Bears to a national championship as a freshman, and Sean Oakman just sacking Jay Coker every play. And that's what I think. We beat Alabama 70-0 in that in my dreams, but that's a different story for a different time.
What's an interesting dream, Saul.
You know, Martin Luther.
I always thought you would dream about different things than that.
You know, to each their own. I'm going to actually say Oregon rights this ship against Washington. Yes, Chris Peterson's a good coach. No, I don't think they're that good. Oregon's not as bad as everyone thinks they are. Their defense is atrocious, yes, but their offense is actually still pretty good. Do I think they beat Washington by more than a field goal? Absolutely. I mean, the Washington State game to this day, and probably for the rest of my life, I'll always question that because Mike Leach is a
You're going to question that for the rest of your life? You've got better things with your life than to worry about that. I'm an Oregon fan, and I'm not even going to care.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, did that really happen?
Chuck, that's a part of Slumberland.
Oh, yeah, we'll go back to when Oklahoma State lost in Ames. It's one of those things, like, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you're never going to understand that. But continuing, I got Oregon.
But Saul still has nightmares about that game.
No, I'll have nightmares about the Oregon-Washington State game. I still don't understand it. Like, it's gonna baffle me till the day I die.
Let's try this.
But anyway.
Did you watch any of that game?
No,
I didn't. And I watched the highlights. No, I watched the highlights, and I was confused as to how on earth Mike Leach had that awful team in that game
for as long as he did. I'll tell you. So Oregon can pass the ball down the field. Jeff Locke and Vernon Adams, they both don't throw the ball past 10 to 15 yards. And with that offense, with that speed out wide, if you can't go vertical, you're in trouble. Royce Freeman's their only real weapon on offense these days. Braylon Addison, if you can get him the ball, but so far they haven't been able to. So Royce Freeman is having a great year. It's been buried because of their record. Washington's defense has actually been fantastic this year. Jake Browning isn't exactly a great quarterback for him, and their running back's just, I mean, he's whatever. But I think they're going to do enough to be able to limit Oregon offensively. I think Washington wins and covers the spread.
So right. I'm going to go with Oregon to cover the – I think they win straight up. Washington – this kind of a Washington's on a high after beating USC. Oregon is going to look to rebound after, well, a shitty performance the first half of the year. Let's see if they even go bowling. But Washington, yeah. The strength of their team is playing defense. I mean, look at what they did. What was the USC score? 17-10, I think. I just don't think Washington's can score enough points. I don't think Oregon is, I mean, obviously they're nowhere near where they used to be, but Oregon still is going to score points. Like, look at last week against Washington State. Well, they scored 35, 38, something like that. Even against Utah where they got blown out, they still put up 20-something. You put up 20-something on Washington, you're going to beat them. And so I'm going to take Oregon to score enough points to win the game.
So we're going to play the game Chuck just referenced. Is Oregon going to go to a bowl game? They need to find 3 wins in their next 6 games. Did the taser just go off? There's a lot
of
clicking.
Like it.
Yeah, okay. Chuck, you're still being abused at home?
I ain't being abused. I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about.
Earlier tonight, Chuck texted, save me, or something like that.
It was supposed to be save them.
But that's not what you said.
Okay, that's
save
okay,
me.
That's save me.
Save me. And then we got tasers going off in the background. All right, so Oregon has to win 3 of these games. You guys tell me. I'll throw it out to you both. Washington, they're going to
win.
Yes. Okay, so there's 4.
Yes.
At Arizona State.
No.
Will?
Who's their next game?
After that?
Yeah.
Cal.
Arizona State.
After Arizona State.
Cal. Yes.
Sewell, shut up. After Arizona State?
Cal for the fifth time.
I can't hear over Sewell talking.
Seriously, you didn't hear that time?
No, I heard you that time.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
For both Cal and...
No to Arizona State, yes to Cal.
All right, so you're at five. Okay, Stanford. At
where
Stanford.
Where is it?
No.
At Stanford.
No.
USC at home.
No.
Sally?
Yes. I say yes.
So Sally's got him at five. Chuck's got him at five.
I've said yes.
And you guys will both say yes to Oregon State, I'm guessing.
Yes.
All right, so you guys both have them going 6-6. But it's not an easy road to get there is my point. They're not going to probably
I think they could easily win one of those. I'm going to say that they go – sorry, let me rephrase it. I think they go 7-5. They win one of those games that I said no to between Arizona State, USC, and Stanford. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I think they win one of them.
See, I think they lose again this week, and if they do, I don't think they're favored until they play Oregon State again.
They'll be favored against Cal.
Really? I guess we'll see.
Is it at Eugene?
Yes.
They'll be favored against Cal. Right. Maybe they won't, but I would take them over Cal at home.
We'll see. All right, so that's going to wrap us up this week. We intended to go shorter. I don't really know if we did or not. I'll edit tonight. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to be joining iTunes here pretty quickly once I can figure out what an RSS feed actually is. So you're going to find us under the Pick 6 podcast. I want to thank Sally for joining us. I'm now.
We still got to do our money.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even figured that part out yet.
Neither have I.
Well, hot damn. All right, Sally, who do you want to lay your $1,000 on?
I'm going to lay $1,000 on... Ooh. Man, that's a tough one because all these games look pretty... I'm going to put 500 on Florida covering, and I'm going to take the other 500 on Oregon winning.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to catch up some ground on Chuck. I'm going to put 500 on A&M to cover the 4, and I'm going to put 300 on Baylor to cover the 21, and I'm going to put 200 on. Who else do I want? I'm going to put 200 on Oklahoma.
So I'm going to take Louisville, A&M, Florida, Arizona State, USC. How many games is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And yeah, let's just make it easy. Call it 5. I'm going to put
200 on each.
250 on A&M. 250 on USC. And then split the other 3 with 500. So what is that? 166 each?
Yep.
No.
And yeah. One of 167.
166 and 67 cents.
All right, mathematician.
Chuck's always making math easy for me.
True.
All right, so again, I'm going to try to say goodbye again. So we got Sally on. Appreciate him coming on finally. His landline worked. He didn't get washed away. Sally, how's Wofford doing these days?
Oh, God. I think we're 2-3 on the air. Got a long way to go. We just lost to freaking the Citadel, which is embarrassing. Excuse me, 3-3 on the air.
Come on, Terriers.
I know. We got a...
So I'm impressed you actually know what Wofford's record is.
William, I pulled it up right in front of me. So let's not get all carried away here. We got a barn burner.
How's College of Charleston?
They do not play football, so they're undefeated. But basketball, I did get to meet Coach Earl Grant. He's from the Wichita State lineage, coached at Clemson. I really liked the guy. He sat and talked to my wife for about 30 minutes while I unfortunately had to talk to the female basketball coach because she chatted me up. But good news, she's from Michigan State.
How did you get in these situations?
We went to an young alumni mixer, and we...
Are you now an honorary College of Charleston alumni?
Bro, I am wearing a College of Charleston basketball shirt right now, and I can't make that up. Yes, basically, Rachel buys me all... She buys me all College of Charleston stuff for basketball.
Does Rachel ever wear any Baylor gear?
Yeah, did you know? I send out pictures like that all the time. She got the shirt that I married into this, and she's pretty salty.
I understand you bought that she's for got, her. The question was, does she actually wear any of it?
Oh, absolutely. There was one Saturday she was walking around the house in an Oakland jersey, and then she wears the Baylor shirt every now and then. She worked at Columbia a few weeks ago. So, I mean, she wears her Baylor stuff.
Is that an Oakland jersey or a Terrence Williams jersey you bought because you're a Cowboys fan and you just didn't tell her it's a Terrence Williams jersey?
So I bought the Terrence Williams jersey a few years ago and then I went out and purchased another number two jersey and it is Sean Oakman. I couldn't find a Lake Seastrunk 25, unfortunately. I wanted to get her a Seastrunk jersey.
What if we broke the news to her that she was wearing a Terrence Williams jersey?
For those who don't know,
Sally's a big Cowboys fan and Rachel's a big Eagles fan. So this might be pretty fun if you tell her she's wearing a Cowboys jersey everywhere.
She ain't going
to
be a
problem. Rachel, tune into this podcast.
And get to the very end.
Let's be it. For the record, she ain't making it 2.5 hours into this thing. Listen to us ramble on.
If we tell her to, she might try. We'll have Hash put in a good word for
it. But anyway. All right, dude, just sign out.
All right, guys, thanks for downloading the new Pick 6 podcast. We'll be back with you next week with our boy Hash. Peace out.